Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we are back at Sports 101, and I'm so excited today. You know, there's lots of stuff going on in sports. But today, you know, we're going to talk about some personal stuff that's going on in sports. I've got a gentleman with me today, K. Anthony Fowler. He's a personal coach, personal development coach, and we met some time ago. And the awesome thing about it was we start talking about sports like everybody does with me, and we found out that we had something in common with each other, and we really want the best for athletes. And so without further ado, I want to welcome K. Anthony Fowler to the Sports 101 show. Welcome. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hey, Anthony. Yeah, there you are.
Yeah,
there you are.
Yeah,
okay.
On mute. Already? Am I talking too much
I'm
already?
Sorry.
You already put me on mute.
I'm sorry. Well, welcome to the show. I'm so excited, like I said, to have you. I was telling my audience that it's been a while since I've been back online, and, you know, I had to have a good reason to come back online and talk about it, so we're going to talk about it. You know, you've been a coach for a while, but what made you get into coaching? I want my audience to know.
Very thing that made me get into coaching. Well, my background was in real estate. I was an investor, and I was flipping houses, and I started teaching, you know, some friends and other guys about it. Of course, they seen the fruits of the labor. And I really found out during that time period, I enjoyed teaching and watching other people prosper more so than I did going in and out of houses and renovating them and making construction runs. And so when I seen the value in really being able to help people, and not just the monetary value, but the internal satisfaction, I really found purpose in it. So that was really like my first footprint into coaching. At that time, it wasn't coaching. I was just, you know, helping out.
Yeah. Well, now coaching is like, you know, a major thing. Everybody's coaching. People are doing it around the world. And people are really taking kindly to helping others and providing information. Before, as I was telling, you know, a lot of people, information was hard to get. You know, you had to go to a library. You had to go somewhere else. But now everything's right online. And then you have people like yourself that have been there, done that, had a lot of success. And now you want to give back by teaching other people. You and I connected, obviously, on sports. You know, anybody who knows me, I'm sports everything, sports 101, sports everything. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, you've had a lot of success financially, and we'll get into that in a minute. You've written a book. We're going to get into that in a minute as well. But I also want to know a little bit more about what you do with athletes, because I think that's such a touchy subject these days. You know, people look at them, they made a lot of money, figure they're going to be perfect when they get done. But you've seen firsthand that they're not perfect when they get done, and you've been reaching your hand out to help. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in a business luncheon one day, and, you know, ESPN was on the restaurant we were at, and we were talking, and there was a group of guys, and they were just, you know, kind of making fun of how a lot of the athletes go broke. They don't really have a high-level business acumen, and the people around them. Internally, it frustrated me because I know that's not the story universal, but I do know it happens. So I decided I wanted to do something about it. I had a nephew who was playing ball in college, and me and him really sat down. He's playing basketball. It's like an NAIA Division I, Division II school. And you know, he wasn't going to be able to make that transition to pro ball or to go overseas. So I was like, what's next? And he had spent the majority of his life with his hoop dream. And I understand from a standpoint of being a man that when a man doesn't have an identity, or his identity is wrapped up in a thing or a monetary thing, when that's gone, we can tend to lose ourselves. And really kind of helping him get on path, he's now super successful. And his success kind of excited me. You know, he's one of the top NBA skills trainer in the world. You know, his transition gift has taken him to Dubai, the Philippines, working with top-level NBA players, and he's still a young man. And then I started working with guys that were retired athletes, and it's just that same void that was there of what's next? Who am I now that nobody wants my autograph? Who am I now that nobody wants to take a picture? Who am I now? And so being able to help them find that answer was really like my green light into this this coaching.
Yeah. I mean, it's so necessary. And like you said, you know, you were able to help somebody that was close to you. And in helping him, it kind of opened up a new vein of how you could help some other athletes. And I've seen it firsthand, been in it 20 years now, seen it from the owner side, from the GM side, seen it from the parent side, seen it from all kind of angles. And really, what you offer is so, so important. And that's why I was excited to interview you. And you also do some other things as well. You've done some amazing things. I don't want to forget what you did back in Kentucky for people that other people forgot about. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So I was a life skills coordinator for a reentry program. I had a contract with the city of Louisville, guys reentering back into society. That's where kind of the people's coach kind of comes from. The people that society is kind of, you know, pushed off or rejected or forgotten about, and dealing with, you know, their trauma coming out, and then childhood trauma, mainly men. And really giving them a sense of purpose, hope, and not just motivating them, but equipping them with tools to empower them, not only to change their life, but to change the next generations coming behind them. And so I've been blessed to where I was able to walk amongst them, talk amongst them. They still check in to this day. I still check in on them. But watching their life change from living a lifestyle that had led them to incarceration, some of them near-death experiences, and watching them not only be contributing members to society, but to be thriving members in society now, and then watching them give back as well.
And that's important because you're leading by example. You know, I've talked to a few people who know you, and a lot of them say, you know, he just has this way about him that's able to understand where people are at the moment they're at. And the nice thing about it is you even have somewhat of a visibility to see how they can come out of it and be the best that they can be. And that's why we're so excited to talk to the People's Coach, because you really are the People's Coach. That was a perfect title for you, okay? And, you know, because some people throw people away, and, you know, a lot of times people come up and then they look back and they're like, I don't want to deal with that because it reminds me of the things that hurt me. But you kind of let go of that and say, you know what, I'm coming forward. I'm coming hard. I mean, I'm excited about your book. I want to talk a little bit about that. I have had the opportunity to read this. I feel like Oprah. Y'all need to go get this. The GPS System, Guide to Personal Success by Anthony Fowler is on Amazon. And where else is it available?
So on Amazon, the website is being revamped, KAnthonyFowler.com. That'll be back up.
Okay.
Here fairly. But yeah, we have a team, PR management team. You can follow me on social media, at Sir K Anthony. You can order from there if you'd like. You can just DM or message, and one of our team members will definitely reach out and get back to you.
Okay, so that's perfect. Yeah, because this book, it changed my life. And I've been, you know, most people know me as being this really successful person, done all this different stuff. But you're never too old, or it's never too late to learn about what you can do to be better, what you can do to go forward. I mean, we all have some baggage. We talk about that all the time. We all have some baggage, and we keep submerging it, and we just keep going, right? That's me. And so I was able to look at your book and see some things that I want to share with my audience, because I think that that'll give them the reason why they need to go and you know, like the kids say, cop this book. Get that book, okay, because you can find something, okay? So the GPS system, when I read it, one of the things that was really true to who you are, you help put people's life back in order, you know, because a lot of times we don't want to, you know, hear what we are hearing in our head, right? So you put it in our face. You let us know what we need to do, how we need to do it. And sometimes we already know, but we just need permission to go forward. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you also identify a position and a purpose for people. You know, people know their purpose sometimes, but they're scared to step into it. Having, you know, gotten coached by you myself, you pretty much have pushed me to push limits that I hadn't wanted to push for a long time because I was fearful. Okay. The exciting thing is you also have people make a promise to themselves. Because I always tell people, whatever's coming out of your mouth about you is basically what you're living on, or what you're, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue, as we always say, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I liked about your book is you tap into detoxing. You don't leave them there. You don't let them stay there. You say, okay, how are you getting out of this? Whether it's a bad relationship, bad business deal, whatever it is that's holding them back. And I want you to talk a little bit about that and why you do that.
Well, I think one of the benefits of coaching is that it's client-led. You know, a lot of new coaches, they'll come to me and be like, hey, I want to be a coach. And I'll ask why. They say, well, I have a lot of good life experiences, and I feel like I can help people. And, you know, that's noble, but that's not really what coaching is. You know, that's consulting, telling people what to do, or advising, and coaching is all client-led. My job is to follow the client, ask the right questions, and get feedback. And the whole goal is that the client will have an aha moment where they can start realizing everything that they need is inside of them. It just takes somebody like myself, a coach, to kind of ask those questions to bring the right answers out to them. There's a thing called your intellectual immune system. You're only designed to take in so much foreign information before you start rejecting it because, as you know, we all have trauma, trust issues, and after a while, that intellectual immune system kicks in and say, hey, you don't know me like that well enough to be telling me what to do. You know, I'm the one who's gotten myself here. And situation, whether it was by choice or by a situation, me helping them realize the right answers internally will help them get out of that situation as well. And I found out through my experience, they're more likely to follow their own advice. My job is to set up a pragmatic plan to help them get them on track, hold them accountable so they can reach their end goal.
I'll say amen to that. Okay. I mean, it is so true. It is so true. You know, what you just said, and just guiding them, helping them see things that maybe they've been submerging, don't want to see. Somebody's told them they weren't nothing, you know, you're never going to be nothing, you can't go to college, you're never going to go to college, you're never going to be a pro, you're going to fall like everybody else. Those words coming out of somebody that there's, you know, that's close to them hurts. So when you hear something hurts, you submerge it and you don't want to deal with it. But in the way you do your coaching, the awesome thing about that is that you allow them to find themselves, is what I'm hearing. And I can really respect that. Let me talk a little bit about a couple of things. One of the things that I liked in your book, and this is why you all have to go get it, is the fact that you actually held people accountable. And I haven't heard that word in a couple of years, where people are accountable for their own stuff. Everybody wants to blame everybody else for it. But at some point, the only person who's going to make a change is you. And if you hold yourself accountable to some stuff, you'll find it that it's a lot easier to make that change. And so I want to talk about promise to self, promise to forgive yourself, promise to flow over force, promise to basically, you know, think of economics and ego and try to separate the two, figure out what's right, and also how to stop lying to yourself. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that.
A lot of the stuff that we believe and ways that we operate, these constructs that we operate in, have either been lies that's been told externally that we've internalized, or lies that we've told ourselves, and we tend to believe that it's true. And the reason why accountability is so important is it may not have been your fault of what's happened to you, but it is your responsibility to fix it. You know, we can't go through life constantly blaming others or circumstances and expect to have positive outcomes or reach attainable goals that we set for ourselves. And that accountability comes in where, hey, this may not have been my fault. The way I grew up, what happened to me, getting cut from the football team or basketball team, getting injured, getting hurt, stuff that was done to me or said to me in my childhood. But it is my responsibility now as an adult to fix it. In order for me to move forward, for me to progress in life and to be able to give back, I have a responsibility to fix this. And so that's where really far as accountability, stop lying to myself, really kind of comes into play. It's holding ourselves accountable first, being responsible for making sure we get the right help. I'm a big advocate for therapy as well as coaching, and having to keep people around you that hold you accountable for your actions, being intentional with your words, and making promises to yourself that you can keep. Because if you can't keep a promise to yourself, you won't be able to keep it to the ones you love or those around you either.
Yeah, that is so true, you know. Well, the exciting thing I want to tell my audience, you've heard him speak. You heard what he understands about people. You understand that he's been doing this for over 9 years now. He's been out there saving a lot of people and helping a lot of people and leading a lot of people to the right position.
I've been certified for 9 years, but I've been doing this probably 15.
Okay, correct me. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So he's been doing it. No, it's all right. It's all right. No, I'm just teasing you. You know, Sports 101, we have fun. It's no real pattern. It's just a matter of getting the information out, talking to the people, similar to you. I love talking to people that are helping other people. And that, you know, that's kind of my mantra for this year, letting it be known, because a lot of times people don't know how to get to people like you, you know. And so one of the things I want to talk about before we get to the end of our time period together is let's talk about now is the time.
Okay.
All right. A little birdie told me you were doing an event called Now's the Time Summit. So what do you hope to accomplish from that?
I want people to stop pushing off far as goals that they've set for themselves in life. You know, you have a lot of single mothers or single fathers or just people in general to where they put everything in life before them, and they really feel like that they've missed out on their moment, that they've missed out on their time. And I want them to realize that as long as you're breathing, life is not over with yet, and your time is now to start that business, to take that trip, to move to another state, to get your life in order. Your time is now. There hasn't been any time that's been wasted as long as you still have breath in your body. And at this summit, I really want to empower people to start taking back control of their lives and start setting goals, obtainable goals, following the plan, being accountable, and realizing that life's not over with you, and your time is now.
Yeah, no, that is amazing right there because, you know, as you know, our society has been really tough the last several years, and people have been hopeless, and they've been thinking that they're not going to see something come through, you know. And as you know, we've had some conversations about that. You got to wait. Sometimes you got to wait. Terry, wait for it and be happy while you're waiting, you know, because if you're not happy while you're waiting, you're just miserable and you're making the people around you miserable. But if you take into account that, you know, who your inner space is owned by, now it's like you take it a day at a time. You know, none of us got each other here. So I always tell you that none of us got each other here and none of us can stay here if it's our time to go. So at this point, it's like do your Now is the Time Summit. You're going to teach people. You're going to educate people. You're going to give them permission to deal with it, you know, because sometimes people will still put it and say, no, that's not how I feel. But in their quiet times, they're crying. And so not only do you want to lift them up, you want to empower them, but you want to also educate them. I'm assuming that you're going to probably end up doing some coaching afterwards and let these people be accessible to you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd love to do some one-on-ones, really, you know, get a feel for the people, touch the people, talk with them, walk with the people. And I equate this like going to your favorite restaurant. And they say it's a 35 to 45 minute wait, and you're hungry, and you've been sitting there, and your stomach's growling, and you're getting irritable, and you're watching the clock, and you're waiting, and you're seeing other people go ahead of you, and they're sitting down, and you can smell the food, and then finally, either that buzzer or that text comes through, or the host comes through, and she said, "We're ready for you now." And at the summit, your time is now. We're ready for you.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. That was very, very, very good. Now, we still got a little bit of time together, so I'm not going to let you go yet. I'm going to try and get as much information as I can from you about
coming on your show, I was so excited. I get asked to do a lot of interviews. Well, when I heard that the boss lady was calling me for an interview, I could not wait.
Yep. Oh, man. And this has been a great interview, and I definitely see why they call you the people's coach. And, you know, the exciting thing about this is, you know, we're all evolving, you know, and we're evolving into places where we should have been, where we could have been, where we maybe weren't ready yet. Give me some ideas on how you deal with people who might want to step out but are scared.
You got to do it while you're afraid. You know, those voices, that chatter is always going to be in your head, telling you the reasons why you can't do it, why you shouldn't do it. And the voices never go away. They just get quieter. And taking the first step is always the initial thing that's hardest to do. I went skydiving one time. I went with my grandmother for her 72nd birthday, true story. And she was the first one out of the plane. And when I got up to the plane, it was a tandem jump. I'm looking down and I froze. And the guy who I was strapped to for the tandem jump said, you got to take your first step. And fear came over me. And one thing I want people to know is that fear paralyzes action. It stops you from taking action. And after I took that first step and that free fall came, it was the most exhilarating thrill I ever had in my life. And it went from a thrill to a peace of mind as a parachute came open, and we were coasting down and we landed. And it reminded me that it always starts with the first step. And that first step is scary. And if you let it stop
scary.
You, it'll paralyze you. Yeah, it'll paralyze you. Fear paralyzes action. But once
fear
you get
paralyzes
after,
action.
It's, you realize,
okay.
Absolutely. Once you realize it's just another emotion, and if you look back at everything you've been through in your life, everything that you overcame, you can do this. You can step out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can step out. You know, like you say, it's scary, but, I mean, anything that I've ever done in life, everybody thought I was crazy. So if you have if you have friends and family, your family sometimes doesn't understand you, don't run back to the line. Stay out there, you know, because at some point they will understand you. And they will see the greatness in you. And not everybody takes the same steps. And sometimes, you know, as we, yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on what you experienced with, you know, it depends on what was said to you when you were a child. It depends on what, you know, what your heart is saying. You know, my heart just tells me I can do anything, you know, as we've talked about. And pretty much I have. And so it sounds
you've
like
you've done a lot. You've accomplished a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what though? I wouldn't have it any other way. And I mean, stuff got in the way, as I'm sure does for your clients. Stuff got in the way. Family got in the way. Illness got in the way. All these things get in our way. But it's all there just to either make you stronger. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know.
You
become stronger.
You become stronger. You know, the road doesn't get easier. You just get stronger, and then it seems easier from there. So that's all. There's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be obstacles. But switching your mindset and knowing that you have the confidence and the faith to make it through will give you strength in those trying times.
You know, let's talk a little bit about that because, you know, I've heard that word a lot lately. The last, say, you know, listening to pastors, listening to, you know, speakers, things of that nature. Confidence. Okay. How big is confidence in doing what you need to do to make it happen?
Confidence is one of the key factors. Confidence and faith really kind of go hand in hand. And from a coaching perspective, one of the things I do with my clients, I have them, you know, set a short-term obtainable goal just to build confidence. It may be something small, you know, something small, like let's just make our bed for a week, something small just to start building confidence. Because once you take that first step and you start, your confidence level starts to raise, that I can do it mindset steps in, and then you're willing to take the second step, and then now we're walking, and then after we get to a good pace of a walking pace, now we're running, you know, well, excuse me, now we're jogging, and then once you get comfortable with that jogging, now we're in a full-fledged sprint, and we're knocking out goals that you never thought that you would have been able to achieve looking at where you started from.
Yeah, I can see that. Let's talk about, you know, I skimmed real quickly past where you've been and what you were able to achieve when you were a younger man, right? And I think that's important because, you know, I read that you were in your 20s when you were able to earn your first, you know, seven-figure area. And a lot of the guys these days are like, I'm going to be a millionaire. I want to be that seven-figure, eight-figure. Haven't done anything. So tell me a little bit about that because I think the audience needs to know. Sometimes they hear out how a person has been successful, but they have not heard how it was to get there.
Yeah, I mean, the road was arduous. Like anything else, I had no real knowledge of being an investor, and I had to bump my heads, made a lot of mistakes, and really was able to achieve that goal by helping others. You know, there's an old saying that goes, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. But for me, more impressive was when the market crashed in 06, 07, me losing everything and not losing myself, because my foundation was built on helping and then being able to get it all back. I'm more proud of that, of being able of getting it, losing it, and being able to get it all back. That's what I'm most proud of, is finding out who you are when the chips are down, you know, when things fall apart, who you are. And being a younger man, I'm still a young man, but being a younger man, looking back, and you were like, wow, a lot of the stuff I was able to accomplish was me stepping out on faith, having confidence in myself, not being afraid to fail, and not being afraid to ask questions. Because during that time period where I had accumulated that net worth, I was a student, and I vowed myself, the bigger teacher I become, I'll make sure equally I'm a bigger student as well. I never stopped learning a lot, like keeping younger people around me. My grandparents told me when I was a teenager, they were like, your brain is like a sponge, you know. You have to submerge it with information, with new ideas, new thought patterns. If it's not submerged in that that liquid of knowledge, it'll dry out and then you'll expire, you know. And so that's been true to form for me throughout my years, is making sure I'm constantly learning, not afraid to ask questions, not afraid to be vulnerable, not afraid to take risks. One of my dear friends who passed, he used to say, God blesses the risk takers and not the wish makers. So I like turning my clients from wish makers into risk takers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a risk in everything, you know. I don't care if it's a personal relationship. I don't care if it's a business. I mean, you know, you're putting money into a business that you don't know you're going to get that money back, you know. All kinds of things. But, I mean, I think the fun thing about life is you take a risk and, you know, like some people say, you know, you swing the ball or swing the bat and you try to hit the moon. Well, if you hit a couple of stars, you're still doing good. And it sounds like you've hit a couple of moons and a couple of stars.
Yeah. I mean, and when life, you can't get out of this thing alive. You got to die to get out. So on your way out,
that's
why
true.
Not take a risk? Why not try?
Yep.
Do you want to, you know, you don't want to go to the graveyard full of ideals and dreams and wishes. You know, my goal is to die empty. Everything that's inside of me, I want to try to get it out, impact as many lives in a positive way as I can. But, yeah, you this life is the only thing you can't get out of alive. You got to die to get out. And on your way out, let's make some changes. Let's reach some goals. Let's see some things. Let's impact some lives in a positive way.
Well, and the man has spoken. You know, K. Anthony Fowler, we're so excited to see you grow and see you do the Now's the Time Summit. I mean, the titling is incredible, as well as the reason behind it. And I just want to say one more thing. You know, now is the time for change, growth, and focusing on your strength. You heard it from the man, K. Anthony. It's on hope for now and the future. And we'll see you when you get there. Thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you, and go People's Coach.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hey, you coming to the summit, right?
I'm coming to the summit. I will be there.
All right. I look forward to seeing you there. Thank you again for having me.
All right, now. Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.